The text is the gospel reading from St. John, chapter 1, the 35th verse. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Here ends our text. Creedence Clearwater Revival had a 1969 hit titled "Fortunate Son." Well, what does that song against moneyed privilege have to do with St. Andrew? Well, like the song says, he ain't no fortunate son. But beyond what the Bible says, not much is known about Andrew. His day has been November 30th for 1,600 years, but accounts of his life are largely unreliable. Because his day falls at the beginning of Advent, and there were no church weddings permitted from now to Christmas, Andrew became the patron saint of unmarried women, and his day became the day the girls could find out the name of their husband by fortune telling. Sorry, not our Andrew. He's no fortune telling son. He can't help us, married or not, to find out about tomorrow. He does tell us something about today. Today is supposed to be the first Sunday in Advent, but we're celebrating St. Andrew Apostle. Now, the big deal is not supplanting Advent. The bigger deal is moving Easter. Have you noticed that Sundays in Advent and Lent are never of, but always in? Now, that isn't true of the latest church calendars used by the liberal Lutherans and Episcopalians. But confessional Lutherans still follow the historic practice of marking Sundays in Advent, Sundays in Lent. That means, strictly speaking, Sundays in Advent and Lent aren't penitential. They are breaks from the fast. A pastor I knew of began every Sunday sermon with "Happy Easter." A member of his told me how that used to brighten her up every time he said it. Yes, even though we begin Advent today, even though there is red on the altar, meaning we're remembering one who shed his blood for the faith, even today, it's Easter. Even today, COVID or not, political unrest or not, sin has been atoned for, death has been swallowed, and the devil defeated. This takes us to Andrew. Aside from John the Baptist, he is the first one named to follow the Lamb of God. And he is so much like me, it's scary. No, it's comforting. Yesterday, John had pointed Jesus out, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God that carries away the sins of the world." The next day, our text says, Andrew was there again with an unnamed disciple of John's. And again, John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." The first time it says John sees Jesus. The next time, it says he emphatically, intensely sees Jesus. There is stress, there is strain, there is emphasis in his voice when he speaks to Andrew and the other. "Look, behold, right there is the Lamb of God." Now Andrew gets it. This was the one John meant for him to follow. Are you amazed at how slow you can be to pick up on things spiritual? How many times the Lord has to tell you something before you get it? How something can be plain as the nose on your face and you still don't see it? Andrew can be your patron saint. Oh, brother. We say that as an expression of exasperation. It supplanted the older expression, "Oh, bother," which you recognize from Winnie the Pooh. "Oh, brother" is very fitting here. Andrew is best known for being the brother of Simon Peter, the first among the apostles. Most people don't like going through life as someone else's anything. be it husband, wife, child, son, daughter, or brother. The Holy Spirit has recorded Andrew's name 12 times in the New Testament. 6 of those times, he refers to Andrew as the brother of Peter. Oh, brother, can't a guy get a break? There's more. You know how Jesus had his special 3? Peter, James, and John. They were selected by Jesus to go with him as the witnesses of the transfiguration. They saw who the man Jesus really is, God of God, light of God, light, very God of very God, of one substance with the Father. While they were seeing that, Andrew was with the others down below, struggling and failing to cast out a demon. And Jesus takes those same 3 when he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Again, Andrew is left with the other disciples to listen to the crowd mocking Jesus. Of course, not being of the inner 3 meant Andrew didn't have to see the horror that was Gethsemane. He didn't have to see what happens to God's lamb when the sins of the whole world, with all their weight, fell on him. He didn't see Jesus in so much anguish begging for God's cup of wrath to pass him by that he sweat blood. Andrew didn't see God answer by sending an angel to strengthen Jesus to bear the strain. There is one time that Andrew is included in the big 3. And remember, James and John, that's 2 of the 3, they're brothers, even as Peter and he are. Maybe you don't know about sibling rivalry. Maybe you think the apostles really did have halos and were above our petty sins, our jealousies, our hurt feelings. They weren't. So it had to sting every time Jesus said, "You 3, come with me." "Not so fast, Andy. I'm just taking your brother." One time Andrew got to go. Actually, Mark 13:3 gives the impression that Andrew tagged along with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus let him stay. They came to Jesus and asked him about the end of all things, and Jesus told them about his second coming. This is why Andrew is fitting to remember on the first Sunday in Advent. He's the apostle associated with all 3 comings of Jesus. Andrew is there at Jesus' first coming when he is revealed as God's Lamb to carry away the sins of the world. And Andrew is there when Jesus reveals how his second coming will bring an end to, will bring all things to an end and a new beginning for his elect. And Jesus covers his continual coming today at that time by telling Andy and the others they can watch even now as he comes among them. He's just outside the door, Jesus says. Put that in our terms. Jesus is just on the other side of your baptism. Nothing between you and Jesus but a thin sheet of water. His lips are on the other side of these words. The body he gave on the cross and the blood that he shed there are as close as the bread and wine you eat and drink for his forgiveness, to have his life, and the joy of his salvation. No, Andrew ain't no fortunate son, but he is so much like me that I'm comforted. Roman Catholics and the Orthodox think the saints are more approachable than Jesus, and so they pray through them. We don't pray to them or through them, but we honor them and are comforted by them. Roman Catholicism condemns us because we don't require the invocation of saints. In 1530, we said their proofs for praying to saints only prove 2 things. Departed saints should be remembered, and living saints should pray for others. We went on to say, none of the ancient writers before Gregory in the 6th century mentioned the invocation of saints. And then we outline the threefold way saints are to be honored. First, by giving thanks to God because he has shown examples of his mercy in their lives. Second, we use the saints to strengthen our faith when we see what sins they were forgiven and that truly God has more grace than men have sins. Third, we honor them by imitating first their faith, then their works. St. Andrew can't tell you about your future, but he can tell you about God's grace. He is the stumblebum apostle that you are glad Jesus chose, because if a guy like that can be graced that much, so can you. In the feeding of the 5,000, Andy is the guy who just has to say the obvious. First, he is the one who finds the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Well, in Jesus' hands, that's going to be the answer. But Andrew has to say what all unbelief is thinking. Note how John records it. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to Jesus, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these among so many people?" All I got here to face a pandemic of disease and fear. What am I saying? All I got to face my sins, my impending death, and the devil himself is God's word in water, God's word in absolution, and God's body, bread, and blood, wine. What are these for so many problems? In Jesus' hands, from Jesus' hands, they're everything. Simply everything. Okay, so my boy Andy fumbled here, as I have too many times to count. But Andrew is a bit like his brother Peter. Bold, assertive 1 minute and brazenly wrong the next. He starts out right. Sure, it took John rubbing his nose in the Lamb of God for 2 days running. But he got the message and he followed Jesus. And what's the first thing he does after staying with Jesus all day? The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. This guy, who never made it to the podium in the Apostolic Olympics, this guy who never gets even bronze, let alone silver or gold, this guy who at best comes in 4th, is first here. And note, Andrew doesn't say, "I have found," but "we have found." And he actually says, "forever found." This is no flash in the pan faith. After staying with Jesus all day, he confesses Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one anointed by God to be his prophet, our priest, and our king. But there's more. In the last days before Calvary, once more the faith of Andrew shines through. John records the scene. "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at Passover. They came to Philip with a request. 'Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip told Jesus. What are you supposed to do when someone wants to see Jesus? Duh. Evidently, Philip doesn't know. But Andrew does. Tell Jesus. Remember, Jesus had been saying that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did the coming of the Greeks indicate a wider mission had begun? Jesus says as much in his reply to Andrew and Philip. Him being glorified by being at last lifted on the cross draws all men to himself, as shown by the seeking Greeks. Andrew was not fortunate to be involved with all 3 comings of Jesus. He was blessed. He was graced. And he got the message. Jesus was the answer. The answer to God's promises, the answer for his brother, and the answer for what to do next. Even though he didn't see what Jesus could do with so little bread and fish, he took them to Jesus. I don't see what Jesus can do given all my problems, all my sins, all my fears, and the apparently unstoppable devil, world, and flesh. But Andrew teaches me, take them to Jesus, God's Lamb, Messiah, and Savior. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.